Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Wrapping up the show, but we got time for your garden questions, our garden answers. You got a question, send it on over to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call toll-free coast to coast. That number is 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469. If we can't get to you and get you on the air, leave a message and we will call you back with the answer to your question. We had a number of questions come in this week. Let's kick it off now, Holly, with the first one, which is, how much space is best between raised beds or in-ground designated garden beds?
Well, typically we say 2 feet, but you realistically want to be able to get your lawnmower between them.
And a wheelbarrow or a cart.
Yeah, anything like that. So if you have, you know, a wider lawnmower or maybe even just a riding lawnmower and you want to just like zip through there, you might need to make it a little bit wider. Otherwise, 2 feet is kind of what's recommended.
The minimum. I would go 3. If you can do 4, it's even better. And not only just for the yard cart or the cart or the lawnmower or the wheelbarrow, just that you don't feel crowded walking between your, if there are raised beds, you got boards, you can do that. But just if you have the space, eliminate one bed in order to get enough space between the rest of the beds.
So Sierra wrote in and said, I'm a fairly green gardener to start some herbs from seed. Many of the sites I have looked gave me very little hope or success with my rosemary seeds. They all say that it's so difficult, it's so hard to start them. But then I found your video in 2023 saying that it is possible and maybe not so terribly difficult to grow rosemary from seed. However, my question relates to the paper towel on top of the soil method is, will the light from the grow lights get through the paper towel to the seeds, or they do not need the light for germination? Thank you so much, and thank you for the information.
Okay. She's referring to a technique that I discovered or I created myself. Hey, I'm famous, maybe. When we start seeds indoors, the atmosphere in our home typically in the winter is fairly dry. So when you're watering your seedlings, they dry out they're not germinated yet. You've just planted them. They typically dry out pretty quick because the moisture is being absorbed into the air. So what I discovered was using paper towels as a mulch for your indoor plants. You plant a party cup of seeds or a tray of seeds and you lay a layer or one layer of paper towel down on top of it, water it, allow the water to percolate through the paper towel, and that creates a crust. The paper towel dries out, creates a little crust, and that holds a tremendous amount of moisture in, allowing a better germination rate on your seedlings. And once the seedlings, if it's fill-in-the-blank plant that takes 7 to 14 days to germinate, between that 7 and 14 days, you want to continue to monitor that, lifting the paper towel up, seeing if anything's starting to germinate. When you see that, then you want to remove that paper towel. That is creating a barrier and holding moisture in and getting a better germination, and you have to water a lot less. So with rosemary, it can take up to 28 days. If you're not a patient person, just buy the rosemary at the garden center. It's not going to...
It does take some time, and it does... like Joy said, if you're not patient, it can get frustrating.
And you're going to think that they're never going to come up. So they do require some light in order to germinate. However, they still need a little bit of soil on top of the seed. So by doing a little bit of soil on top of the seed and then covering them with a paper towel, that paper towel will illuminate some light through the tissues of it. If you're underneath a grow light or next to a south-facing window that allows a lot of light in. And you want to monitor the moisture, and that's what that paper towel is doing. And 14, 21, 28 days, you will get sprouts. Again, rosemary is fidgety, but it will work. So if you're thinking you only need 2 rosemary plants, plant 8 seeds or 10 seeds. Plant way more than you think you need so you have that opportunity to give away or plant more rosemary. Who can't use more rosemary in order to plant to do that way?
Rosemary is tasty. So our next question here is, new gardener here wanting to maximize my resources. I have a cat and a dog. Is it safe to compost their waste and use it in the garden?
Well, here's the USDA, United States Department of Agriculture, says that dog and cat waste composted can be used alternatively in soil such as lawn or non-edible landscaping. You don't want to use it in your garden because cats and dogs may carry pathogens and be harmful to humans. They're to humans. Composting it still needs to get to 135 to 170 degrees for multiple days consecutive for 7 days in order to kill those pathogens. And not all compost bins are created equal, and not all composting people are created equal. So getting that correct temperature for that duration may not be safe to do. But if you do feel that you want to compost your pet's waste, you can do that separately. And when that turns into soil, you can top dress it around your flowers, your rose bushes, cast it on your lawn, but do not put it in your containers or your edible or your landscaping or your garden where you have edible plants at. Now, if you want to go down the very deep and curvy rabbit hole of composting, there are certain people who compost their own waste and utilize it in their garden. Now, you think that's kind of gross, but it's no different than a cow. We see a cow, we feed a cow grain and grasses, kicks it out the back end, we let it wait for a while, assuming that it's not been sprayed with a persistent herbicide that will kill your broadleaf plants. And it turns into soil, we put it in the garden, we don't think anything of it. Chicken manure, goat manure, fill in the blank manure, properly time aged. But the people waste compost, we consume so much toxins that the overall consensus of it is it's not safe for us to use our own waste in our garden because of the prescriptions, because of just the food that we eat, the processed food. It's not going to be a healthy thing for our soil.
Absolutely.
But that's why they have composting toilets. Right. And that's a thing, and it's what it is. So there you go.
So another person asks, what are some tips and tricks for growing corn? So corn, it likes a lot, likes more warmth. So you want a 55 degree Fahrenheit minimum soil temperature. You want to make sure you look at the long range forecast. You can actually take a meat thermometer and put it into your soil.
Not to get the long range forecast, to get the soil,
soil temperature.
Maybe that's the secret to the meteorologist. You know, we just hold the meat thermometer,
yeah,
and that's in the air. Yeah.
And then you can grow it in a block, or you need to grow it in a block, a 4x4 or an 8x8, something like that. And then you do plant those seeds about 8 to 10 inches apart. And they are a heavy feeder of nitrogen. So you could get a soil test if you are not having luck maybe the past couple of years. You might be lacking nitrogen in your soil. I remember when Joey and I grew corn, we would just like up the nitrogen in that area like mad.
We took several different packages of fertilizer and we concocted our own formula. I think it was like 27, 24, 31.
It was nuts.
In order to get the nitrogen. Now, would we? And we didn't do a soil test back then. You can go to soilsavvy.com and get a soil test and they'll give you 16 points of analyzation in order to know what you're doing. What you need to do or what you need to stop doing in order to get your soil and your pH level all in check so everything's happy. And because we added so much nitrogen to that soil, which we only did this, and you can find it on our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, in the search bar put growing corn, just so we could do it. And we were able to do it. But it was a lot of work, a lot of energy input for one ear of corn. In the peak summer, at any roadside stand or any big box grocery store, you're going to find ears of corn.
And farmers markets
for about a quarter an ear. Now, I don't know anybody, and I've never been able to figure out how I can grow it for a quarter an ear. Now, true enough, it may not be heirloom and non-GMO and all this other stuff, but I can't grow it for a quarter an ear. But I can put a tomato plant in that same area and get 20 pounds of tomatoes off one plant where I could grow three or four ears of corn, so I think the return on the tomatoes is much more, or zucchini plant. But That being said, if you want to grow it and you are able to grow it in large quantities, that's where you're going to save money. You know, if you just have a little 4x8 or 4x4 patch and you have 16 or 32 plants, it's not going to, you know, it's fun to do, but that's not really much. If you have a quarter acre field and you're planting 1,000 ears, you got something there.
It is fun for like the artisan corn. You know, like,
well, I guess it's Native American corn now. Is that the crop proper terminology?
No, I'm talking about like the pretty like glass corn.
Oh, the glass gem corn.
Yeah, glass gem corn. Or the pretty like popping corn, whatever it
popcorn.
May be.
Popcorn. Yeah, you can grow popcorn. Yeah, that's a thing. You can actually grow popcorn, a homegrown popcorn. But you can do the decorative corn. You can make mesa out of the corn, the blue corn. You can grind it up.
Yeah. So there's reasons why you could grow corn, not just like for mass consumption. I guess you could do, like I said, the artisan stuff or the specific kind. So we had another question come in, and the question was: as I kind of got excited and I bought myself one of those home composters, but I live in the city and I don't grow any vegetables or anything like that, and I've already fed my houseplants. Do you think that you know, if I contact a community garden, do you think they would want this homegrown, home whatever compost, knowing that it's just mostly like kitchen scraps and like random shredded paper?
Well, that's what most compost is, kitchen scraps and paper. So, yes, contact your local garden center, not garden center, community garden, garden club. Explain who you are. Don't just, you know, hey, do you want some free compost? Tell the story. So the story, you know, that here's who I am, here's what I've got, here's what I'm offering. And that's what you should do anytime you call somebody, email somebody, or text somebody that they don't know you. So you're not like some weirdo going, hey, you want some free? Well, what? Why are you toxifying? Because they're.
No, I know.
I'll put poison in it, and then you put it in your garden, and all plants die, and I laugh. People will do that kind of mess.
That's why I think it's a good question. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, just make sure you do find the garden group, community garden. Reach out and just let them know, you know, what happened, and I'm sure they'll be happy to take it.
Well, Holly, it's that time of the show. What did we learn today? What did you learn today?
Today I learned from our guest, Sally, that the city of Buffalo has the most... Is it community gardens? Was it community gardens?
Yeah.
No.
Public garden.
Public gardens in the United States, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that's really cool.
I learned, and I learn this every time whenever we talk about this no seed starting thing. It just fascinates me that Holly never knew what seed starts were growing up. You never knew that. I mean, you never went to the garden center. No. You never, none of that. So I always learn and relearn that there are people who are not familiar with the techniques that we practice on a yearly basis, that you practice on a yearly basis. So we have to educate respectfully everybody who wants to be a gardener.
After all these years, that still blows your mind?
Yes.
That's cute.
What we learned today is brought to you by honeybeehealthy.com.
Whether you're a gardener, a bee hobbyist, or a professional beekeeper, Honey Bee Healthy has the products to help you maintain a healthy hive and thriving garden. For more information on how to use Honey Bee Healthy in your garden, visit honeybeehealthy.com. That's honey, just the letter B, healthy.com.